Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Kuf, the 100th daf of the Masechta. We are back on Tzadi Tes. We're going to start with the Mishnah today on Tzadi Tes Amid Aleph. Here, the 11th parak of the Masechta. Today's the last full day of the last full daf of this parak. It's a short parak. Tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we're going to be starting the 12th parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow, we start with Chalitza. We're going to be doing the mitzvah of Chalitza with the beginning of the 12th parak. I mean, the entirety of the 12th parak, really. Anyway. This 11th parak is a bit challenging. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. So a lot of tarovis, a lot of mixing children, and the result of that is it relates to the mitzvah of yibum. Okay, so yesterday required a lot of brain power. Okay, the beginning of this morning's daf also is going to require a lot of brain power as we're going to continue in this theme. We're starting right now with the Mishnah on Tzadi Tes Amid Aleph on the bottom of the Amud. Ha'ishish nesar vlada b'vlad kalasa. So once again, you're at the you're in the delivery room. So you had a kid, and so did your daughter-in-law. So mazel tov now for you and your daughter-in-law. Okay, used to be a lot more popular. I feel like in certain communities, this is common, right? But both the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law are having children at the same time. Okay, good. Anyway, so mazel tov. So they both had children and a mix-up in the hospital. Okay, and so once again, nurse has lost track of whose child is whom. Okay, so and I know I don't mean to be flippant about it, but okay, she gives each one of them a child. Okay, here you'll take it, you'll raise it. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's not. Okay, anyway. Okay, fine. Anyway, so let's just get serious because we're going to require some brain power right now. So Igdila Tarovis. So okay, good. They grew up. But they grew up not knowing exactly who they are, meaning one belongs to the mother-in-law, the other one belongs to the daughter-in-law, v'nasu nashim, and they married women, meaning the babies were boys, and v'nasu nashim, and they married women, v'meisu, and they died. So you have now yibum on both of them. Now the problem, of course, is that the surviving brothers, they don't know who they are in relationship to the mace. Meaning, are they the mace's brother-in-law? Alternatively, they could be, well, it depends which ones we're talking about. Let's go older generation, younger generation. So from younger generation, so it could be that they from the Yavama standpoint, they could be the brother-in-law. Alternatively, they could be the nephew. Okay? Let's go from the older generation. It could be that they are brother-in-law. It could be that they're the uncle. Right? Everyone see that? So as far as the B'nai HaKala are concerned, so from the younger generation, so they can only do Chalitza, but they can't do Yivam. Shu Safik Eishas Achiv. Safik Eishas Achiyaviv. Because from their perspective, so once again, what we could be talking about now is that it could be your late brother's wife, or it could be your late uncle's wife. Now, if it's your late uncle's wife, that's an Erva. So Yibum is out of the question because we're talking about a Suffolk Erva. Now, B'nai Azikena, now let's go from the older generation. Ah, Ochozen Omiyabim. Now, they could do Yibum because what are the two possibilities from their standpoint? It could either be their late brother's wife, or it could be their late nephew's wife. Oh, so that's a niece. And we know, as strange as it is, but a niece is not an Erva. Oh. So shesafik eishes achiv eishes ben achiv. Oh, okay, fine. So oddly enough, interestingly enough, so from the older generation, they can do yibam because either they're doing yibam or they're marrying a woman who they're allowed to marry. Okay, mesuk sherim. So atarovus of nea zekena. Now, let's do the same exact case, but instead of the tarovus children dying, we're going to have now the vadain, meaning the ones who know exactly who their mother is. So Mesuk Shema Tarovus of Neazikena Cholzim Velo Miyabim. So here now it's going to be the inverse, and that is the Bnei Azikena, meaning the older generation. So Cholzim Velo Miyabim, they can only do Chalitza but can't do Yibam. Shu Safik Eishes Achiv Eishes Achiyaviv, because once again from their perspective it's either the wife of the brother, the late brother, or the wife of their late uncle. Livne Hakala Echa Cholz VeEcha Miyabim. So but here, for the younger generation, it's either going to be, the late brother's wife or the late nephew's wife. Either way, would be mutter. One will do chalitza and the other one will do yibum. Okay, and we'll go over exactly why Chalitz and Yibam have to both be done. Anyway, fine. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first half of this Mishnah. Okay, so more Tarovis and odd scenarios where because of the Tarovis, one of the surviving brothers is in fact allowed to do Yibam, but specific to the case that we just went over. Okay. And now, for the rest of today, really, or it's going to be the second half of the Mishnah. Most of today's daf is going to be focused around the second half of the Mishnah. Kohenish and Ezar Vlad Bavlat Shifchasa. Okay, so, Eishes Kohen goes to the hospital together with the Shifcha. And once again, same story. All right, they both delivered on the same day, Mazel Tov. And now, once again, babies were confused. We don't know whose baby belongs to which mother. So each one now presented with their baby. Okay, again, sorry for the confusion. Okay, now, Hare Elo Ochlim B'Shuma. So now, what do I have over here? So I have now two children growing up. One's a Kohen, the other one is an Eved Kanani. We just don't know which one's which. Now, interestingly enough, Hare Elo Ochlim B'Shuma, the both of them can eat Shuma, because remember, she's a Shifcha of a Kohen. So we know a Shifcha of a Kohen is allowed to eat Shuma. So, now, when going to the, Goren, the granary for distribution, so they are chokin chelik echad. They get one portion. Okay, hold that thought. The Gemara is going to clean up that part of the Mishnah in a little bit from now. And as we now turn to the top of Tzadi Tesamad Beis, ve'ena matam lameisim. Now, they cannot be matami meis, meaning, obviously, the Eved Kanani of a Kohen is not bound by this mitzvah, but nevertheless, each one of them is a Safek Kohen. So as a Safek Kohen, they can't be Matam Lameis. Vein Anosim Noshim, Bein Sheres, Bein Psulas. Now, who can they marry? So this is going to be problematic. They can marry nobody, okay? Because once again, from each one of them, who am I, right? The existential question, who am I? So I may be a Kohen, I may be an Eved Kanani. I don't know who I am. Now, if I'm a Kohen, so that obviously limits who I can marry. If I'm an Eved Kanani, that also limits who I can marry, but obviously there's no overlap. So that means they can marry nobody. Now, as we already know, hopefully you've been trained enough, you've gone through enough Gemara together, so that's an untenable situation. The Gemara is going to point that out. Higdila taroz v'shichru zedzeh. Ah, so now as they get older... So now what can they do as the following? What an interesting maneuver. Meaning, one of us is a Kohen, the other one is owned by me. I just don't know which one's which. So here's what they're going to do as they get adults. As once they become adults and now have the ability to do finances, so what they're going to do is they're going to free each other. Meaning, if I'm the Kohen and you're the Eved, I free you. Ah, now you're a full-fledged Yisrael. Alternatively, if you're the Kohen and I'm the Eved, so you'll free me. Okay, so now, what do we do at this point in time? So once again, now they are both have existential issues of who they are, but at least now the question is, either I'm a Kohen or I'm a Yisroel. Now life gets better for them. So no, some Nashim Ruiz Lekuhuna, so they'll marry. Now here, there is overlap of who they can marry. Now because they're a Kohen, so they have to take that into consideration. So they can marry a Grusha, each one of them. Okay, but as long as the woman is allowed to marry a Kohen, they can marry that woman. Now you can't be Matam Lameis because again, as now part of their existential crisis, so they may be a Kohen. They may also be Yisrael, but they may be a Kohen. They can't be Matam Lameis. Vim Nitmu ain't Sofkin Arabim. Now they're not going to get Malkus because you're not going to get Malkus on a Sufik. Now they cannot eat Shuma because again, the suffix is that maybe they're Yisrael. Yisrael obviously is prohibited from eating truma. Now, if they eat a b'shogeg, they do not pay Karen v'chamish. Karen v'chamish is going to be both the principal and the 25% surcharge that you have to pay when eating truma b'shogeg, but they're not going to have to pay because, again, it's suffix. And this is mamana muta b'suffix. Now, they are not going to be, they can't get a distribution of truma, obviously, meaning because, again, each one of them may be Yisrael. Now, here's what they can do. Let's say they have truma. How do they have truma? It's very simple. Let's say they have a farm and they harvest it. And now, you have to take off truma. So here's an interesting thing from their perspective. So when in the future they go ahead and they're mafresh their own truma, So now, do they have to give it to a Kohen? Why would I have to give it to a Kohen? I may be a Kohen. I'm not going to give it to another Kohen. Ah, but I can't eat it because I also may be a Yisrael. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, they'll sell it, v'adamim shalahem. Now the law of supply and demand is going to dictate that they're not going to get a good price for the truma that they sell. They're going to have to sell on the cheap. Don't matter. In other words, it is a sellable item. It does have some market value, diminished as it may be, and they're going to just and the proceeds they can keep. Now they're getting no distributions from the Beis HaMikdash. Again, each one of them is a Suffolk Kohen, Suffolk Yisrael, so they can't get Kohen distribution. So for example, says Rashi over here, every time you offer carbon ola, the Kohen is going home with a new pair of shoes, or I should say better, the leather for a new pair of shoes, oros of a carbon ola go to the Kohanim, they don't get that distribution. Ve'noslam kadashim, also any other distributions, let's say for example, Chaz V'Shok, they don't get that as well. Ve'imotzim shalahem miyadehem. Okay, and you do not take it away from their hands. Take what away from their hands? Rashi really struggles with this line of the Mishnah. Although, Rashi, you'll see a really long Rashi over here. By the end of his struggle, he does have a preferred pshat. I'll just say over the preferred pshat of Rashi. And that is that we're talking about Bechor and Charamim. So a Bechor, firstborn. So what do you know about a firstborn animal? So that has to be given to a Kohen. And offered on the Mizbech, and the Kohen eats it. Now, over here, if they have a Bechor, meaning they have a herd, and they're obviously going to have Bechor, so you don't take the Bechor away from them. Again, they're possibly a Kohen. Now, what they can't do is they can't offer the Bechor as a Karban, because the entitlement of the eating of Bechor can only be eaten by Kohanim. So what will they do? What will they have to do? Wait till it develops a mum, and then they can eat it. Because again, once a Bechor Baal Mum can be eaten by anybody. Okay, fine. Upatur min Ezer L'chaim in a Keva. And they don't have to give Ezer L'chaim a Keva. Right? One of the last prakim of Chulin. Okay? Every time you shecht an animal, this is not a carbon-based halacha. This is every single time you shecht an animal, portions of the animal have to be given to the Kohen, specifically Ezer L'chaim a Keva. So you'll forgive me. I'm not going to go over which parts of the animal that is right now. Anyway, so when they shecht an animal that they belongs to them, they don't have to give Zor L'chai V'keva to a Kohen. Why? Because again, they may be a Kohen. So since they may be a Kohen, so once again, the Hamotzi Mechaver, you want to take money away from somebody? Alavaraya. U'becharu Yeh Yistayev. And Rashi's insistent that this is connected to the previous, not the previous line, but the line just before it. Meaning, and now what do they do with the Bechor? Well, I know I explained this already, but Rashi says, this is where the Mishnah is telling us. So yeah, when they have a Bechor, you can't take it away from them, and they have to wait until it develops a blemish, and then they can eat it. And you're going to place upon them all the stringencies of a Kohen and all the stringencies of Israel. That is what's called in the Mishnah a superfluous line, and you know what the Gemara is going to do. The Gemara is going to say, what is the Mishnah coming to tell us over there? So I'm going to ask everyone to wait until we get to the Gemara. Mesu Haksherim. Okay, so most of our daf today is going to be talking about our Kohen and the mixed up Kohen and Eved Kenani. That's going to be most of our daf today. But just for a moment, we're going to go back to that first case where the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law went to the hospital and had babies at the same time, baby boys at the same time. Mazel tov. However, that's the good news. The bad news is the baby's got switched in the delivery room. And now the delivery nurse says, look, I'm sorry, I don't know who's who. Okay, here you go. One for you, one for you. And so now what happens in terms of Yibam Chalitza? So we discussed that in the Mishnah. The Gemara first is bothered by just a textual point in the Mishnah. Elahanach mishum diar v'lu havelu psulim. So look at the way the Mishnah describes these children. Psulim, they're disqualified? What? That's a strong word. Just because the babies got mixed up in the hospital, they're called psulim? That can't be. So the Gemara says, Amar papa ema umesu havada'in. Okay. So just a cleanup of the Mishnah, and that is, let's not use the word psulim, because they're not pasul. In other words, they're just simply those who are mixed up, and those who are vadaim. We know definitively who they are. Okay, that's the proper text of the Mishnah.
Question for you. Yeah. What, when the woman and her daughter-in-law both have Kohanim as children, isn't the son also Kohanim?
Wait, are you conflating the two cases of the Mishnah? They're two different cases of the Mishnah.
Okay, mother and daughter-in-law go to have babies.
Yeah. No, the Kohanim is the second half of the Mishnah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's fine. It's fine. The first case is just Rustam, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, not Kohanim. Second half is Kohanim. Okay, so Livnei Hakala, Echad Choleitz Vedavka. Okay, so Livnei Hakala. So we're at the point of the Mishnah where we know what the halacha is regarding if both of the mixed-up children die. And then what if it's the reverse? What if it's the Vadaim who died? Meaning again, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law had children that got mixed up. They also had other children that did not get mixed up. So you had Tarovis and you had Vadaim. So the Mishnah tells us, what if, let's say, the Vadaim died? And now what do the Tarovis do? So Echlad Michletz and Echad Miyabim. One does Chalitza, the other one does Yibum. And the Gemara points out, Dafka Michletz Vahada Yivume. Ava Yivume Reishalo, De Kapaga Biyavam Lashuk. Right. Because we don't know who is who, and so therefore we have two possibilities. One is that I am doing the mitzvah of Yibum. Two, if it's just one of them doing an action, let's go the other way. If only one of them is doing an action, so consider what that action may represent. It may either represent the mitzvah, meaning because it may be he's addressing his late brother's wife. He may be doing a mitzvah, whichever mitzvah it is, chalitz or yibum. Alternatively, he just may marry a woman. Again, what we learned in the Mishnah, as long as that woman's not an erva, that's fine. But here's the problem. The problem is that now we're looking at it from the perspective of the Tarovis. So we don't know right now at this point in time when one is doing an action, is he doing the mitzvah or is he doing a non-mitzvah? So that's why I need one of them first to do chalitza. Because in the event that, let's say the other one now is addressing his actual yavama. Well, if he does, his non-yavama, and she hasn't been released, so that's what's called yavama l'shuk. That's a problem. That's why first you'll do chalitza in the event now that was the actual chalitza, perfect. So now the other one is no longer yavam l'shuk. Okay. It doesn't matter. In other words, when you look at the case, study the case, you'll see as long as one does one, the other one does the other, so then everything will be resolved. Correct. In other words, there's no erva, so it's either going to be yibam or it's just simply marrying a woman. Okay. Kohenish and Isarif. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is going to be the rest of today's daf. Okay, everybody get comfortable. And just the Gemara today is going to be a little bit easier than it has been for the last couple of days.
Why couldn't they both do chalitza?
In which case? Meaning the Mishnah is addressing two cases. One is where the mixed up children die, and the other one is where the vadaim die. I'll tell you what. Let's do the following. I really want to catch up today. So then afterwards, we could discuss the your proposals. Kohanish and Isar v'chulei. Okay. Chelik echab shita. So, a hospital mix-up. Eishes Kohen and Shifras Kohen went to the hospital. They both had babies on the same day, and the babies got mixed up. Okay. And so these kids now are growing up, possibly being a Kohen, possibly being an Eved Kenani. Okay. So the Mishnah told us that now each one of them is holding by both of those possibilities. So now you have to act accordingly. And so number one, in terms of distribution, chelik echad. So pshita. The Gemara says, okay, one portion, one distribution portion. The Gemara says, yeah, I think I knew that. So eima chelik ke echad. Okay. So the Gemara says, no. What it means is as follows. The only way that they can actually receive a distribution of truma is only when they come together. So tanan kaman damrin chokin truma le'eved alim kin rabbi imo. So the Gemara says, what's the consideration over here is the following. Don't give truma to an Eved unless his master's with him. Why? This is subject to a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says you can only give an Eved Kohen truma. He's allowed to eat truma. But as far as distribution is concerned, you can only distribute it to him only when his master's with him. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Yachos Yomer, Im Kohen Ani, Tanili Bishvil Atzmi, V'im Eved Kohen, Ani Tanili Bishvil Rabbi. So, and Rabbi Yossi, perfectly fine, him receiving a distribution without his owner. In other words, if I'm a Kohen, give me my distribution. If I'm an Eved Kohen, so please give me my distribution. Thank you very much. What are the issues over here? The Gemara spells it out. And the issue over here is as follows. So, in Rav Yehuda's community, when you see someone getting a distribution, so what immediately do I think? Ah, he's a Kohen. Therefore, when he goes to Shul, I'll give him the first Aliyah. Therefore, I'll allow him to Duchen, etc., etc. Meaning that the receiving of a Truma is an endorsement, a ringing endorsement that he's a true, that he's a Kohen. In Rav Yossi's community, no. In other words, it's only a ringing endorsement that he's allowed to eat Truma. But plenty of people can eat Truma. Kohen can eat Truma, the wife of a Kohen can eat Truma, the Eved Kanani of a Kohen can eat Truma, and it's not a ringing endorsement regarding his Yichus. Okay. Okay, fine. So you didn't like my Aliyah example. No, but what's it called? No, okay, fine. But a better example is who they can marry. Right. That's a better example. Okay. So the okay. Tanya, Amar Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Sog Mi Amay Lo Hiarti Elo Eidos Echad VeElu Evi Lekun Al Pi. So Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Sog says something which is really striking, and that is that I testified only once in my life. Okay. In other words, okay. It's a striking comment. And he says, the one time that I testified, I really messed it up. I made a terrible mistake. And Helu Evi Lekun Al Pi. And what they did is that, so I testified that this person received a distribution of Truma, and they're ready now to marry him off as if he's a Kohen. Okay. And meanwhile, he wasn't a Kohen. He was an Evi Kohen. Okay. So, I'm narrating, but I'll never testify again. Okay, anyway. So the Gemara cannot believe what it just heard. Helu salkadatcha, hashtab emtim shal tzadikim min akash baruchu, maybe takala yadam tzadikim asman lo kol shakain. So first of all, how can Kadosh Baruch Hu allow such a thing to happen? He's a tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu is protective of its tzaddikim, and to make sure that they don't violate any averis. Now Tosos over here takes exceptional issue with this line of the Gemara. Tosos actually takes it out of the Gemara. It doesn't belong here, because this extra protection that Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for the tzaddikim is only to ensure that what they eat is kosher. Okay, right. The Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that when it comes to tzaddikim, their animals eat kosher. They only eat kosher. Okay. And over here, we're not talking about eating kosher. Okay. Anyway, Tosus takes it out. But still, the idea, however, is still basically the same. Meaning, I can't believe that the Rav Elazar Rebbe Tzadok made such a gross error where he's pointing to a person and says, hey, you know what? He's a Kohen and you're allowed to marry him. And meanwhile, it was an Eved Kohen. Meaning, I can't believe that happened. Ela Ema, Big Shulalos Eved Lekunapi. Okay, so the Gemara basically says it didn't actually happen, but it almost happened. Meaning, he was close to making a gross error, and even that he felt was humiliating. The error didn't actually occur, but it almost happened, and it humiliated him. So Chazav b'Asadur of Yosef, Azavazav b'Asadur of Yehuda, and what happened was that this Eved Kohen was receiving a distribution in Rav Yossi's community. And remember, in Rav Yossi's community, anyone who's allowed to eat Truma can receive a distribution. And so, and what he did is that he reported in Rav Yehuda's community. Now remember, in Rav Yehuda's community, you're only receiving a distribution if you're a bona fide Kohen. Oh, okay, fine. So that was the mistake that nearly happened. And before this person married anyone, it was clarified. Anyway, but the point is that our Mishnah is subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, not the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why our Mishnah says that the only way that these two can go ahead and receive a distribution is only when they go together. Because when they go together, again, I don't know who's who, but one's the master, one's the, and one's the Eved Kohen. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Asarin Cholkin Lam Truma Bevesa Granus. Okay, so we talk about now receiving distribution. So again, a lot of people can eat Truma, but in terms of who's going to actually go and collect and who can receive a distribution, meaning can actually go to the granary to receive the distribution, so there are a lot of people that can't go. 10 people can't go to receive a distribution. Ve'elohein. So, and I'm going to read quickly because we're going to clarify each one on their own. So right now I'm just going to run through the list. Okay, so that was 10. Okay, I numbered it. Please, you could trust me. No, don't trust me. But anyway, v'kulam mishagan lahem labateim. Now they can't actually go and collect, but you could send it to their homes. Okay, we're going to clarify that point also in just a moment. Chutz mitame venosa isha sheino genesla. Two people where you can't even send it to their homes. Kohen who's tame, don't send it to him. A Kohen who married somebody that he's not allowed to marry, meaning a Kohen married a grusha, don't send it to him. Okay, again, we're going to clarify everything. Okay, so bishlam echereshos vekatan labnei danin. So, let's go over numbers 1, 2, and 3 in the list. Who can't go and actually collect. And that is number one, Chereshot Vekatan. All three of them do not have das. Now, can a Kohen eat Truma? 100%. Of course. In other words, the only issue now becomes is that is he going to have the proper Shmira? Is he going to be Tahor? Okay, so as Tosus points out over here, there's an adult supervising. And so as long as there's supervision, and that's not just true with the Kohen, it's also true with the Chereshot, it's also true with the Shota. Meaning they don't have das, but as long as you know that they're Tahor, they can go ahead and they can eat the Truma. We're not talking now about eating Truma. We're talking now about collecting, meaning directly collecting from the source. They can't go and collect the Truma. Now, the Gemara's explanation is because they don't have das. And therefore what? Rashi over here, really interesting comment by Rashi. Rashi says, Zilusa de Truma lechalak lehem begoren le'inko. It's not appropriate. Right, Truma is something special. It's something important. It's not appropriate that the one who's actually collecting it is these people who don't have das. To put it in a language that I don't speak, pasnished. Okay, it's just simply not. It's not appropriate. Okay, and the right tumtum v'androgynous. Okay, so tumtum v'androgynous, where we spent a lot of time in this masechta going over. Tumtum, we don't know their gender. Androgynous, they're exhibiting both genders. So Nami, Birya Bifne Atmaninu, why are they not actually collecting it? Meaning obviously they're Kohanim. Obviously we're talking about where they're Kohanim. So why can't they collect it? So the Gemara says because they are unique creatures. And once again, Rashi writes over here, therefore, pasnished. Again, not the exact language of Rashi, but you understand. Just not appropriate. Evan Nami, Damasalasukumichumalyuchsin. Now the Eved can't collect, but we know this already. Meaning at this point in time, we totally understand obviously this Brisa subscribing to Rav Yossi, that when you see the Eved collector, you're going to assume that he's a mamash, he's a kol miyuchas. He's got a pedigree. And he doesn't. That's why he can't collect. So, Arel v'tame mishum demeise. Now an Arel v'tame can't collect. Okay. Now it took me a moment. I'm going to be honest with everyone here. It took me a moment to wrap my head around the Arel. Okay, what do we know? Well, we spent a perek talking about it here in Yavamos, and Arul's not allowed to eat Truma. So I was really stumped when the Gemara says, and he can't collect, he can't collect, he can't eat. So I was really stumped. So what you have to say, you're going to have to say this, is that when the Arul over here in terms of his collection of Truma, I understand we're preventing him from collecting, but in a moment we're going to learn together, you could send it to him. It doesn't mean that he's going to be eating the Truma, he's not allowed to eat Truma. But the RL is head of household, meaning he's got a wife, he's got kids. Just because he's an RL doesn't mean he can't be married and he can't have children. And his wife is perfectly fine and his children are, again, perfectly fine. And in a moment, we're going to specify, you know why he's an RL? Because his brothers died machmas mila. So in other words, he's in a perfect state of onus. Now again, he's going to be barred and banned personally from eating truma, but his family members are going to be able to eat truma. What we're learning together right now is that he can't go for collection, for direct collection. Again, why not? So the Gemara says meisi. Again, I'm going to use the terminology that we're all familiar with, pasnish. It's not appropriate. Same thing with the Kohen Tame. Now with the Kohen Tame, same story, by the way. In other words, he himself, no question at all. He can't eat it. But again, if there are other members of his household, they can eat it. Just because the Kohen's tummy doesn't ban and bar the other members of the household. Again, of course, providing that they're not tummy. Okay, good. No, see, isha sheino genes l'mishum kenasa. Now, the Kohen to decide to marry a grusha, so when he comes to the distribution, we understand. Meaning what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim imposed a kenasa on him. Meaning, look, you are technically allowed to eat truma. Even a Kohen married to a grusha is allowed to eat truma. But we're not happy with your behavior and your life decisions. So the Chachamim imposed a penalty in that he can't collect truma. Ela isha maitamela. A woman can't collect truma. Why not? I mean, obviously we're talking about a woman who's allowed to eat truma. Why can't she collect? So hopefully you remember this is now going to be the second time in our Masechta that we're going over this information. So pliga bara papa Rav Huna bara Rav Yishur chanamai mishum grusha v'chanamai mishum yichod. There are two possible concerns. One is that right now she's Eishes Kohen. But, okay, that's right now. Meaning her status can change. And for years now, she's been used to, we're so used to her coming down and her collecting. And meanwhile, Rechmanis, maybe there's a divorce. Once there's a divorce, she's no longer entitled to Yitruma. And the distributors don't know that. Okay, so. So by the Isha, it could be that she goes through a status change and the distributors don't know that. So just to be safe, we'll ban the woman from actually collecting herself, directly collecting herself. That's one concern. A second concern, a yichud. In other words, she's going to go to the distributors and it's just going to be her alone together with the distributor. And that would be a violation of yichud, which obviously is going to possibly lead to inappropriate relations. Okay. So my Binayu, the Gemara says, okay, these two concerns, nafkaminas between these two concerns. So sure. So Ika Binayu, Bay, Dari de Mekarv Lamasa. So let's say the distribution center is close to the city. Velo Shrichi Buinchi, but there's not a lot of traffic over there. So if it's close to the city, we assume that they're totally up with the times, meaning the distributing center knows exactly what's happening within the city because of their proximity. And if the woman got a divorce, they'll know about it. Ah, but if there's no high traffic, so there'll be times where she'll be alone together with the distributors and, again, leading to inappropriate behavior. A violation in of itself of yichud. Alternatively, let's say it's far away. The distribution center's far away, but there's high traffic. So if it's far away, so we'll assume now that they're not up to date with any status changes with the women of the city. On the other hand, but because there's high traffic, so therefore there's no problem of yichud. Good. Your classic nafkaminas. Now, we went over 10 people who can't collect themselves. Can you send it to them? Sure. For 8 of the 10 people, you could send it to them. But for 2, you can't send it to them. Now, as far as the RL is concerned, so the distribution center can send it to the RL. Again, I'm going to repeat because I myself was like so confused, and then you have to say this. Meaning the RL himself can't eat the truma, even if it's sent to him. He's an RL, but his family members can eat it. Good. Now, if I can send truma to the RL, why can't I send truma to the tummy? Again, the tummy's not going to eat it, but his family members can. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Tami nami ha'anis. So hai nafish unse, v'hai lo nafish unse. So the Gemara says, there's onis and there's onis. Meaning, for the RL, so a lot of rachmanis for the RL. Why? Because again, we're talking about an RL who, his brothers died machmas mila, he didn't get a mila, and that was the correct thing to do. Okay, but it was totally beyond his control. And so for such an individual, so you're right, he can't collect directly, right? But you can send it to him, meaning, and his family members will eat it. When it comes to the Tameh, so I understand Tumah can come about totally for circumstances beyond his control, but generally speaking, if you're careful, you can avoid Tumah. He wasn't careful. And so that's exactly what the Gemara says. If you don't know, so then you don't have to, in other words, you assume that he's Tahor. We're talking about cases where they know he's Tameh. You're right. So, okay, Tana Rabbanan. So when it comes to an Evan Isha, so they do not collect directly. Now, where they do collect, so you give to the woman. And you excuse her immediately. Now, good. Scratch your head and wonder what just happened over here. Women don't collect, but when they do collect, what just happened? So, my ka'amar. That's the Gemara's immediate reaction. Please clarify, Braisa. Gemara says, yeah, hachi kamar. Ben makom shecholkin meister ani nos nalisha tchila. Okay. So a woman doesn't collect truma, but meister ani there are occasions where a woman's going to be receiving direct distribution. She's poor. And so, obviously, for poverty, so there are not going to be any kinds of gzeros where a woman is going to be prevented from collecting, meaning, obviously, she's destitute. So you allow her to collect. Not only that, In other words, if she's collecting Maaser Ani because she's entitled, because she's poor, so not only that, make sure you give her first. Put her first in line. So Maitami Mishum Zilusa. So the Gemara says because it's degrading for her to be waiting in line. So in the event where she is entitled to collect, so not only that, put her at the front of the line. And the Gemara says, I'll give you another example where you're taking the woman, you're putting her at the front of the line. So Rava said that, let's say, basin was open. And now I'm looking at the docket, and I'm seeing now that there's a man who needs a case litigated, and a woman, separate case, needs to be litigated. So what I normally would have done, my original practice was, so I would say, okay, man gets precedence. Okay, men go first. That's what I originally said. So I first tried the man's case because I mean the mechayev b'mitzvos. Why? Because he's obligated more mitzvos, and so therefore he should be given. He should be put first in line. So kevin d'shaman lahu sharina tigra kevin d'shaman laha. But once I learned the above brisa that taught me that when a woman's collecting her Maaser Ani, you put her at the front of the line. It's degrading to see a woman wait in line. So Sharina Tigra, this is a Bresha, Maitama Mishum Zilusa. So now I took that halach and I applied it over here as well. Meaning that when I have now a question of who should go first in line, in order to see whose case is going to be tried first, so it is not appropriate to have a woman waiting in line. So put the woman up in front first. Okay. Higdilo Tarovis. Okay. What happens? We're still now on the Kohen. Again, Kohen and the Ashes Kohen and the Shifcha Kenais went to the hospital. They both had babies. Babies got mixed up. Okay. And so they're raising children, but they don't know. And they meaning both the mothers and the children as they're growing up. They don't know. Right? Their question in life now is, I'm either a Kohen or I'm a Nevekanani. What do they do later in life as they get older? So once they get older, once they become adults, they're mishachra zedzeh, they free each other. Okay, so it sounds like from the Mishnah that it's volitional, and that's what bothers the Gemara. So shichru ibayin ilo bailo v'amay lisa shifchen yochol baschorin in yochol. So the Gemara says that can't be. It can't be that this is volitional. You know, if you want to, it has to be more than that. Why? Because who can they marry? The answer is nobody. And as we learned numerous times throughout Shas, to have somebody in a state of being where they're not allowed to marry anybody, that is an untenable situation. And so the Gemara immediately clarifies, "Amar Rav, Eim Akofen Oso Umeshachrin Zedze." Okay, good. So for immediate clarification, the Gemara just simply says, "Yeah." So I understand the Mishnah makes it sound like it's voluntary. It's not voluntary. It's compulsory. They have to free one another so they can marry somebody. So that there's at least eligibility for them to marry somebody. Okay. Okay. So we are going to bypass all the details of the Mishnah. Meaning, remember, the Mishnah went through basically in the case of the Kohen, Safek Kohen, Safek Eved Kenani, there were two lists. One list of before they freed one another, and another list of after they freed one another. So here's what they're going to have to do. Because even after they freed one another, again, they're still existentially confused, right? Because either I'm a Kohen or I'm Yisrael. Okay, fine. And the mission went through, what are they going to have to do now in life with that dual role of either being a Kohen or being a Yisrael? So the mission then all ends off by saying at the tail end, and oh, by the way, they're also going to have to be treated with the chumras of a Kohen and the chumras of Yisrael. A perfectly superfluous point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not do that. It does not make superfluous points. So, Lamai Hilchasa, Amar Apapa Laminchasam. So what happens when they come to the Beis HaMikdash to offer a mincha? Okay, so in order to appreciate the Gemara here, so we all need to know just simple basic information regarding a mincha. Now, it's been a couple of thousand years since we offered a carbon mincha, so we all get a pass for maybe having forgotten. If I bring a mincha, meaning a non-Kohen, so what happens is that I give it to the Kohen takes a kometz, a fistful of the mincha, burns on the mizbeach, and the shirayim are going to be eaten by the Kohanim in the Azara, only by Zichrei Kohuna. Now, what if a Kohen brings a mincha? Okay, now the Kohen could bring a mincha, it could be voluntary, it could be obligatory. What if a Kohen brings a mincha? So here's the halach, it's really clear. And that is that they'll give it to the Kohen to do the avoda, You could do it yourself, but either way, now the kometz is offered onto the mizbech, and what do you do with the shirayim? You burn the shirayim also on the mizbech as well. Okay, kulo taktar. It's totally burnt on the mizbech. So here's the problem. Now, when I have this person who is a Safek Kohen, Safek Yisrael, and they offer a mincha, so what do I do now? So with the kometz, we know what to do. What do you do with the shirayim?
Just precautionary.
Okay, so Amar Papa Lamincha Sam Nikmesis Kamincha Yisrael Ve'eino Nechelos Kamincha's Kohanim HaKetzad. So you're going to burn it. It's not going to be eaten. Now, specifically, HaKometz Krav Ba'atzma Ve'Shirayim Kraven Ba'atzmam. I'll burn the comets and I'll burn the shirayim. Right? Simple, right? Not so simple. Okay, that was a nice try. Not so simple. Here's the problem, and that is that when it comes to the shirayim, there's going to be a tension in the shirayim, because we know that if a shirayim of Yisrael, not only is it eaten by the Kohanim, you're not allowed to burn it on the Mizbech. You're prohibited from burning on the Mizbech. Ah. We have now a problem. Because I don't know if I'm a Kohen or if I'm a Yisrael, and I bring a mincha. So by the kometz, we know what to do. By the shirayim, so literally, whichever I do is going to be wrong, possibly. Meaning, if the Kohanim eat it, well, it could have been the mincha of a Kohen, and it has to be burnt on the mizbech. The shirayim have to be burnt on the mizbech. Ah, but if it's the mincha of a Yisrael, so then it can't be burnt on the mizbech, and it has to be eaten by the Kohanim. Did you just asked why, right?
Yes.
Okay.
See me after class.
Yeah, see me afterwards for why. Okay. I'm so happy, by the way, that what I'm presenting are the facts. Those are the facts. Can you what? Oh, okay, good. So you're good, good. So you're problem solving. The Gemara is also going to problem solve. Okay, good. So I'm Rav Yehuda Berei, the Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, the Maskelushim Eitzim Kareba Lazar. So one strategy, one solution is that what we'll do is we'll burn on the mizbech with a different kavana. Okay, it sounds like it's right, that sounds strange. It works, but according to only according to one Tana. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Lazar Amar Larech Nichochi Atamala Aval Tamala Shemaitzim. Yeah, you can't take the shirayim and burn it as shirayim, but what you could do is you put it on the mizbech and burn it as if it were fuel. As if it were wood. Okay. It sounds like a really nuanced, it is a nuanced answer. Okay. And that is as per the Shita Rebbe Lazar. Hanichal Rebbe Lazar. The Gemara says, great. If you subscribe to that viewpoint where that is an acceptable approach, that works. El Rebbe Michael Maimar. But if you don't subscribe to Rebbe Lazar, so then you don't have this solution. You need another solution. So Davluk Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's another solution, and that is the Tanya. Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Amar Kometz Krav Latzmo Vishraim Mispazran Al Beis Adeshen. Okay, now over here, there's a lot of background information, and I'm going to be honest with you. We have a chance to catch up. I'm going to fast forward past all the information that we really should know in order to really appreciate this. This is talking about the Minchas Chote of a Kohen, where he's Bedali Dalos. Okay, it's a lot. So right now, we'll just simply say that there is a scenario in which we don't know what to do with the shirayim. So what we're going to do with the shirayim is we're going to deposit it on the Beis Hadeshen. Right now, just for today, it's because it's Daf Yomi, and I'm just not going to get too involved. I'll present it like Rashi. We're talking about the area directly east of the ramp where we deposit the Trumas Hadeshen. So the shirayim will be placed over there in this particular case. And what we'll do is we'll take this solution, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, which admittedly is not talking about our case. It's talking about a different case. But we'll take that and we'll apply it over here. And ve'afilu Rabban Allah plig ala de Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, ala b'minchas chote shekonan debasa kravihi. And yes, in that case over there, there's pushback. The chachamim pushback on Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, but only specific to that case. But the Chachamim would be happy over here. Meaning, I'll say it simply. What we could do over here is the following. I may be a Kohen, I may be a Saul. So with the Kometz, we know what to do. The Shirayim, I don't know what to do with it. I can't put it on the Mizbeach, because I may be a Saul. It has to be eaten by the Kohanim. Oh, but I can't let the Kohanim eat it, because I may be a Kohen, and it has to be burned on the Mizbeach. Oh, so what do I do? So we'll take the Shirayim I won't give it to Kohanim to eat. I won't put it on the Mizbech. I'll put it on the Beis Hadeshen. Okay, compromise.
That's the ashes, right?
Yeah, correct, correct.
Tapuach.
Yes, correct. The Tapuach technically is on the Mizbech. According to Rashi, we are just off the Mizbech on the side. Okay, anyway. Mi Shaloshasa Acher Ba'al HaShosha Chadashim. We're on the Mishnah, on the bottom of Kuf Amud Aleph. So, requisite 3-month waiting period between one husband and the next husband. Okay. Been here, done that. Okay. And Rachman is the woman who either is a divorcee or a widow, either way. So and she married 2 months later. And she had a child 7 months later. Okay. As it goes, this is it's a classic case of the Gemara. We've seen it time and again, but now, obviously, we are addressing it as it relates to Yibum. So. Now let's say our middle child, okay? And from this point forward, when I say middle child, I'm talking about now, he's a suffolk. He does not know who his father is, and there are two possible candidates. Now let's say he's got paternal brothers on both sides, meaning previously there were children born to the first husband. And then, subsequent now to his mother's new marriage with her second husband, they have also other children as well. So he's got now paternal brothers on both sides. Now, obviously, they're not both paternal brothers, right? Only one of the fathers is his father. But we don't know which one is his father. Okay, so, what do we do as it relates to Yibum? Okay, you all know the answer. It's just a question of just thinking it out. So, ubanim min hasheni. So, hayul ubanim min harishon, ubanim min hasheni, cholzim v'lo miyabmin. Okay, so what if he died, meaning, and he was married, so now what do the surviving brothers do? Well, they can't do yibum. Right. They can only do chalitza. Because again, for the surviving brothers who are not his brother, so what does that now mean? It means that he is a brother to them, just not a paternal brother. Only a maternal brother. Okay, so that means it's an Erevan, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. But they also may be a paternal brother. Okay, so, what do we do in these cases? Zafik Chalitza. Okay. V'chein hu lahem cholus v'lo miyabim. Let's turn the table. Let's say our middle child is survived, and one of the brothers died. But again, he doesn't know if he is a paternal brother to them, to him, or a maternal brother to him. So once again, chalitza v'lo yibum. Okay, good. Top of Kuf Amud Beis.
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll take that as a compliment. Hayu lo'achim min harishon v'achim min hasheni shelo miyoseh ha'em. Now let's say he's got brothers, but again, our middle child has got brothers on both sides, but it happens to be that they don't share a mother. Okay, in other words, all the Mishnah is doing now is just taking out of the equation they may be maternal brothers. So now it gets easier. Obviously, the case is more complicated, but it gets easier now. Hu cholitz miyabein. So he could do chalitza. Alternatively, he could do yibum. Right. Because once we take maternal brother out of the equation, so now what are my options? Either he's a paternal brother who died, or I'm not related to him at all. Perfect. So now you could do chalitza. You can even do yibum. Because if you're doing yibum, what are my two options? Either I did a mitzvah, or I'm just married a woman who I'm not related to. Perfect. V'heim, now as far as, let's say he died, and again, we took maternal brother out of the equation. And we're only left with either he's my paternal brother or he's not my paternal brother. So now, echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. So now, remember, we have a brother on both sides. So one will do chalitza, the other will do yibum. Okay? And in other words, you need one of them to do chalitza because, again, he may be a brother to him, meaning one of the surviving brothers on one of the sides. And, from the other side, if chalitza is not done, so then she would be Yivam Lashuk. Okay, so we're just covering our bases over here. So, Haya Echa Yisrael Echa Kohen. Now, let's say of the two dads, one's a Kohen and one's a Yisrael. So now, what is our middle child? Okay, back to where we started this morning. So he's possibly a Kohen, possibly a Yisrael. So, no Seisha, everyone knows the drill at this point in time. Okay, so when you grow up in life, possibly being a Kohen, possibly being a Israel, so it's good review in today daf. Okay, so no Seisha Rula Kohen. So as far as the woman you're going to marry, she has to be able to marry, she has to be able to marry a Kohen. V'ein metam lemesim, and no tumas meis, because again, possibly a Kohen. The imnit minus of Igazar by mythic, it becomes Tameik. You don't give him Malkus because he's a Suffolk. Ain't Ocha Betruma, not Lati Truma. Vimachalin Misham Kerem Vichamish. If he does, doesn't have to pay back principal and 25%. Vainocholik Elagarin does not receive a distribution. I'm going to go quickly over here because we did all this already today. Umocher HaTruma is allowed to sell his own Truma. See above, as I explained that above. Vahadamim Shalawi can keep the proceeds. Vainocholik Bekashe Kadashim does not get Oris Kachim. The Enos and Lawis Kadashim does not get other distributions like Chazav Vishok. The Enos and Shalomi Adom. I'll say it like Rashi, like we saw in the Amud Aleph. Meaning, if he has a Bechor born in his herd, he gets to keep it. Upatim Zorlachai Vekeva also does not have to give Zorlachai Vekeva as he himself may be a Kohen. Hamotzi Mechaver Olaveraya. Ubechor Yehro Achistav Enos and, I'm sorry, Achistav. And once he has his own Bechor, he has to wait until it gets a blemish. Then and only then is he allowed to eat it. Venosnim love chumri kohen v'chumri yisraelim, put on him the chumras of a kohen, the chumras of Israel. See above for exactly what the Mishnah meant by that. Minchas kohen. What do I do with the shirayim of his mincha? Good. Hayushneim kohanim. Now, let's say dad number one and dad number two are both kohanim. Under those circumstances, so he doesn't know who his father is, but either way, he's the son of a kohen. Now what? So who onin alayim v'heim onin alav? So if his brother dies. Now again, when I say his brother, he doesn't know definitively who his brother is, but now he very well may be an onen. An onen, as it relates to a kohen, is concerned, cannot eat karbanos for the balance of that day. Then midrabanan for the balance of that night as well. Fine. And he doesn't know if he's an onen for sure, but there's a 50% chance that he's a suffolk, and we're talking about isur daraisa for an onen to partake of karbanos. Who ain't a matam lehem, ain't a matam lo. Okay, can he go to the funeral? The answer, of course, is no, because he may not be related to him. And if he's not related to him, so that's a kohen going to the funeral, non-sanction. That's called an isser. Who ain't a yorisho sam avahim yorisho so. Now, in terms of yerusha, okay, now this would be true for kohen, non-kohen, doesn't matter. But as far as yerusha is concerned, so when, let's say the brothers die, meaning not the middle child. Let's say the brothers die. And now the middle child now wants to go to the lawyer's office in order to get his portion of the estate. So the Yorshim say, no. You are brothers with that family. Now, exactly. That's exactly correct. Meaning you're trying to take money away from us. We don't know if you're a brother. You have to prove it. That's exactly.
Why is he not considered a Kohen if both fathers are Kohen?
He is a Kohen. No, he's a Kohen. He's a Kohen.
Definitely a
Kohen. He's absolutely a Kohen. Okay. Avalhim Yurshin Oso. Now, when he dies, when the middle child dies, so they're going to be able to divide his estate. Now, remember, what do you mean they could divide his estate? Because they both are going to be coming together and they're going to say, look, he is definitely brothers to one of us. Okay, we don't know which one.
Yachloku.
That's exactly what Rashi says. Upater al-makasov akulaso shalzeh v'shalzeh. Now, if, God forbid, he either hits or curses his father, so he's not going to be subject to the death penalty. Hitting or cursing your father is a capital crime with a capital punishment. And so, but because he does not know who his father is, so you're not going to put somebody to death on a suffolk. Ole b'mishmar sholzev v'sholzev v'eino cholek. Okay, now which mishmar is he going to participate in? We're assuming that the fathers belong to different mishmaros. So, because we don't know which one his mishmar is, so he does not receive a distribution. Now, if it happens to be that the two dads belong to one mishmar, so now what he can do is he can go not only as part of the mishmar, but he can collect. But he can only collect one portion of the two because he doesn't know which one is his father. Okay, Dafka. Okay, I'm so excited. We're going to go a little bit further. And then, okay, we're not going to fully catch up, but Baruch Hashem, we did great today. Dafka mechlat v'hadu yivum, eva yivum mirishalo, dekapaga b'yavam l'shok. Okay. In other words, again, a point that we've made already numerous times, in the case of where he died and the surviving brothers now want to do either chalitz or yibum, one will do chalitz and then the other one will do yibum, again, removing the possibility of yivam l'shok. Good. Amr Shmuel, asar kohanim omdim apir shechamehem obal havla shesuki. Okay. Ten kohanim. One of them impregnated a woman, and we don't know which of the ten impregnated the woman. Okay, I understand. This is going to make the most obvious comment I'll make today. Behavior unbecoming of any Jew, let alone a Kohen. Okay, but the Gemara obviously is trying to make a point. So it is, to say the very least, unbecoming behavior. Anyway, so one Kohen impregnated her, one of ten possible Kohanim. I don't know why the number said it, ten over here, regardless. The child now is a shesuki. Shesuki is a term used throughout the Gemara, fourth parak of Kedushin. You're going to see this term again and again. It just simply means that you don't know who his father is. Okay. So, but we know that he's a Kohen. Now, my shtuki, ilem shemashatkan osam nichzeav epshita miyadin and avu amanu. Now, is this a Yerusha issue? Well, come on. We all know that he's not getting Yerusha. Because, in other words, if he doesn't know who his father is, and he only, a 1 in 10 chance, even if it's a 1 in 2 chance of who his father is, he's not entitled to Yerusha. So that's not the point over here. Okay, so what is the point? So Elisha Meshatkin Osami Din Kahuna. What it means is as follows, and that is that he will not be doing the Avoda. Even though he's a Kohen, he's not doing the Avoda. My Tama Amakra. So in order to be able to do the Avoda, not only do you have to be a Kohen, but you have to be able to say over your yichus, I am a Kohen, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. You have to say over your yichus. So, Maskov, Rapapa, Lamiataka, Be'avram, Dixiv, Laliosacha, Leilo, Kim, Luzaracha, Acharecha, Haisam, Mai, Kamizar, Le, Rachmana. So, okay, good. Zarecha, Acharecha means yichus. Okay, by Avram Avinu, Zarecha, Acharecha. Like, okay, that's not a Kohen. Avram's not a Kohen. So, what's that all about? So, Hachi Kamerle, Lotanasev, Avodas Kocham, Veshevcha, Dololezo, Zarecha, Basra. Okay. So, as far as Avram is concerned, so basically the imperative over there that Hashem says to Avram is, make sure you don't intermarry. You and your children don't intermarry. Okay. Interesting over here. The Gemara seems to be giving us another source of the Isser of intermarriage. Elsewhere, the Gemara seems to be providing another source. Anyway, not for now. Mesve. Rishon Rai Leos, Kohen Gadol. Okay, now. The first one, is right to be a Kohen Gadol. Meaning, Rashi says over here, Heicha shemiyabem eishes achiv besoch gimel, v'yalda, safik ben tesla rishon, safik ben shivala achron beperka cholets. Okay, this goes back to what we discussed earlier. Meaning that, woman in Rachmanis is a widow, and, widow of a Kohen, and the brother performs Yibum, but he does so 2 months later, and out comes the child 7 months later. So what do we say back earlier in the Masechta? This was the fourth parak of the Masechta. So what do we say back then? That child not only is a Kohen, obviously, can become a Kohen Gadol. You can become a Kohen Gadol. Okay. So, and does he know who his father is? Absolutely not. In other words, it's one of two possibilities. So over here, we have is called a stira. So, v'habi nizarim yuchas acharav aleka. So the Gemara clarifies. Zarim yuchas acharav derabanan. V'kras machta ba'alma. Okay. This idea, that in order to be a Kohen, serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and getting entitlements to Truma, in other words, all the rights and responsibilities of being a Kohen, and that you have to say over your yichus, that's not a din d'oraisa. That's a din derabanan. And the Chachamim limited to when they impose this penalty. And the Gemara says that when were the Chachamim gozer? Only in the case of Znus. Meaning, in the case of the 10 Kohanim. And one of them impregnates a woman. Out of wedlock. Having nothing, right? Just, whatever. Just grossly inappropriate behavior. So under those circumstances, so the Chachamim said, you know what? You don't know who your father is. And it was, and all this came about through an act of Znus. That's it. Rabbinically, he's going to be barred, banned from any of the rights, privileges of being a Kohen. However, in the case of the fourth parak of Yevamos, So look, he doesn't know who his father is, but it's in the context of marriage. In other words, he either may be the product of the first husband, or what the brother did, admittedly prematurely, but he married this woman. Okay, he didn't wait the requisite time, but he married the woman through Yibum. Okay, so there the Chachamim said, we're not going to impose the penalty. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Baruch Hashem, we did great today. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we have just a little bit more to work on this case of the Miuchas Acharav. Okay, and obviously tomorrow we start the mitzvah of Chalitza. It's an exciting day tomorrow. We're going to go through the actual mitzvah of Chalitza. What does that entail? It's not a particularly long parak. All these last parakim in Yevamos are short, but anyway, that's coming up tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. We started with the Mishnah today on Sadi Tesamad Aleph. And a mix-up between the sons of the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. They both had babies at the same time. The children got mixed up. And what are we going to do regarding now as they get older? If there's Yibum that needs to be done, what do we do regarding Yibum? Good. The mission went over that scenario. Then, more mix-ups in the hospital between the Ashes Kohen and the Shivcha of the Kohen where the children got mixed up. So, they're going to start off in life being possibly Kohen, possibly Eved Kanani. Okay, that's tough. What they're going to do later in life is that they're going to free one another. So now, same existential question of who they are, but now the question only becomes, am I a Kohen or am I Yisrael? Okay. And what the Mishnah did is, in both stages of life, are like, what are they going to be banned of because of that suffix? Good. And that really covers the entirety of Tzadi Testament Beis. On the bottom of Tzadi Testament Beis, a Braisa. The Braisa that, sorry, in Chokin Lam Truma, who is not entitled to receive a direct distribution of Truma from the distribution centers. 10 people are going to be barred from receiving direct distribution. Of the 10, 8 can be sent. You can send the Truma to them. But 2, you can't even send it to them because they're particularly unpleasant. One is a Kohen who married someone who is not allowed to marry, i.e. married a Grusha. Two is going to be a Tamei. Okay? Who wasn't careful about Tumah Tahara. Good. We talked more about, what happens now when they free one another in terms of, is it an option? Is it compulsory? It's compulsory. They have to free one another so that they have eligibility to marry somebody. The last line of the Mishnah that says that they're going to have the chumras of Yisrael and chumras of a Kohen seems to be an extra line in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, it's not extra. It's making reference to what do you do with the shirayim of his mincha. Okay. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Amud Aleph, where a woman did not wait 3 months after she was either widowed or divorced. She married another man 2 months later. She had a child 7 months later. So this child now is a suffolk. So number one, what does he do where there's a yibum question? So, right, obviously, that's the classic issue that comes up here in the 11th parak of the Masechta. And then, number two, what if one father's Yisrael and the other father's a Kohen? And once again, he's in that existential question of, who am I? Am I a Kohen? Am I Yisrael? So, a good review of what we discussed already earlier this morning. And then, what if both dads are a Kohen? So, he knows he's a Kohen. He knows he's a Kohen. So, what is he going to be regarding his ability to do the Avodah? So we left off today we left off by saying that if he doesn't know who his father, he knows his father's a Kohen, but he doesn't know who his father is and his mother was impregnated outside of marriage, that's it. He's going to be banned from doing Kohen jobs, even though he's a Kohen. On the other hand, if it's within the context of marriage, like in the fourth parak, so then he can become, then he has rights and entitlements to behave like a Kohen. The learning we do...